Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:32 p.m. on the 8th of September 2020. Billy Meyer is a man who lives in Switzerland in a place they call Hinterschmidt-Rudi. Hinter means behind, and Schmidt-Rudi is a this nice little village that sits nestled among the pine forests and the snow-covered mountains of northern Switzerland, kind of east and north of Zurich. I almost forgot the name of that city, goodness sakes. I haven't said that in a while. Billy grew up farther north in a place called Bulak near the Glatt Valley and the Eisenmoser and Bruder Mountains. And I think his address was 1253 Niederflachs, which was close to Bulak. And right around 1943 or so, he started to get telepathic messages from a man named Svoth. And Svoth came from a world called Era. And Era was not in our Pleiades, but some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space-time configuration from ours. And the people that settled Era had left Lyra Vega, and I believe it was around 230,000 years ago. And Ishwish, a king of wisdom named Asael, led hundreds of ships and tens of thousands of people to this star system they call the Pleiaren star system. And they terraformed three planets. And the main world that they inhabited was called Era. And they actually visited Earth in ancient times and took plants and animals back to Era during this terraforming process. And these people became very advanced. They did visit Earth and interacted with Earth humans, but they developed a system, a philosophy, an understanding that was based on what they call creational natural laws. And there's four or five that we know. That we talk about a lot. The first is love, and then striving, and then the law of harmony. And then the next law deals with system and order and having a schedule in your life. Then there's other creational natural laws like reincarnation and the population of Earth-sized planets and what that should be. But the two creational natural laws, they all work together very much so. But love, and we're talking about effective love, love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, and love will forever be the purpose of our existence. Love and wisdom go together, and the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. And the creation radiates love so that at every point the human being has the opportunity to come up against the radiating love of creation. Now, I said earlier that love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. So if you're in a relationship that isn't very logical, it could be because it's not based on this kind of effective brotherly love. Rather, it's more based on romance. Now, if you understand the law of harmony, then that can help to balance out your relationships with people. The law of harmony teaches us to think in a neutral, positive way. And that means that we're not negative in our thinking, and we're not ridiculously positive either. We're just a little past the middle point, and we're a little more to the positive, but we're balanced in our thinking. And our thoughts form feelings, and we're not ruled by emotions. Emotions can lead to murder and manslaughter. Emotions move very quickly. They're very, very intense. Now, feelings grow out of the thoughts, and they take time, and they have a summarizing effect and a simplifying effect. So if you have a situation where you're talking with a whole bunch of people about many topics, and it's very complicated and very intense, your psyche or your material consciousness, the part of your material consciousness called the Gefühl, could produce a feeling to help summarize what this situation means to you. And this helps to discharge the energies that are in the thoughts. Because without that, your thoughts would become confused. So the feelings are very important that we don't stifle the feelings, we allow them to grow. They're kind of an extension of your thoughts. So this is the creational natural law called the, that I call it the law of harmony. It's mostly what's covered in the book The Might of Thoughts, which also teaches us how to be neutral positive and to avoid things like the vicious cycle, which are rotating negative thoughts that reoccur and reoccur and reoccur. And we learn how to use the wish dream to neutralize those, where we think about something completely neutral, like raking, working it in your garage, sweeping things out, or playing time, spending time with your cats or your dogs, or sitting in your yard or walking through the woods with, you take your dogs on a walk. Something to bring your mind back in a neutral state. So what happens in our thinking is our thinking becomes very narrow, and we focus on one small thing, and it's usually something that's upsetting us, and we devote a lot of time and energy focused on a very narrow point of view. In order to come out of that trap, we have to broaden our view and calm, get calm, calm down. That's one of the main things we need to do. So this law of harmony is one of the creational natural laws that works really good with effective love. Now there's this other creational natural law called striving. And down to the smallest building blocks, the creation is devoted to the striving. What is creation? Creation is the universe that we live in. It has an intelligence but no personality. And this is, it is what they call in the German a Wesenheit, and that means that it has a limited free will because it follows the creational natural laws to such a degree that it's not like the human being, which can just decide to do X, Y, and Z and not strive and to not live in the law of harmony and not to have effective love and to work outside system and order, which is the fourth creational natural law that works so well with striving. So the universal consciousness is a different kind of living being than a human is. I've heard people say, well, one day I want to create universes. Well, we probably are not the right kind of being for that. We live out lives. When we die, our spirit form leaves our body and it goes into the spirit realm which is this energy band around the planet that we live in. And we have something in that spirit realm for our spirit form to do work on. And it's kind of a storage area or a work area called the comprehensive consciousness block. And what we do, the spirit form takes the material consciousness with it, which contains all your memories and everything that you did in the prior lifetime. And in the spirit realm, what it is doing is it is finding the evolutive values and all of that information related to your last life. So things like confidence and optimism and love and the ability to think and maintain a train of thought and to be logical. These are evolutive values which are formed and absorbed by the spirit form and are programmed into your new subconscious because the spirit form is preparing you for the next physical life while you're in the spirit realm. And it programs your subconsciousness with these evolutive values. It also absorbs all the wisdom that you learned in the previous lifetime. And it takes in these evolutive values as well. And then at some point, if everything is in balance on the planet that you're on, and you lived 100 years in the physical, you should get 152 years or so in the spirit realm to process all the information in your previous life and then prepare for the new life by creating a new personality, a new conscious mind, a new subconscious mind, a new unconscious mind. And then the spirit form will leave the spirit realm and it will enter into the superior colliculus of the woman, and it will bring with it the new personality and the subconscious. And when the spirit form enters into the superior colliculus, it lets out an energy, which is like an energy band which travels throughout the body. It causes the heart to beat. And then this little 21-day-old fetus is now starting to think, and the heart is beating, and there's reflex motility, and it's moving, and it's alive. And its subconsciousness has been programmed with all the evolutive values that it learned in the previous life. Now, the spiritual consciousness has the sum total of all the wisdom of all of the previous lives, which will go back millions and millions and millions and millions of years. So it's not like you've lost anything. And in fact, all the details of your previous life are stored in the universal storage banks. We have four categories of storage banks. We have storage banks in the planet level, in the solar system, the galactic level, and the universal level. And it's possible when you get to a certain level of evolution at a high enough level to recall information from your previous life. And we kind of do in blips here and there anyway. Billy talked about when he was meeting with Askett for the first time in this life anyway, that he had these familiar pain. He felt a familiar feeling when he saw her, and he realized how much he missed her in this lifetime. Now he just realized that because this is the first time in this lifetime that he had ever seen her. So it was information that was programmed into his subconscious or information that came from his spirit form. Now, it's also very interesting that when Billy was a very, very young boy and he went outside, on a warm night in May and looked up at a beautiful starry sky. And he said, "My life is made out of the love of creation. And since ancient times, I've lived among the stars." Well, he was only 4 years old. He'd never been to the stars. He'd never left the earth. But his spirit form in another body with another personality obviously had. And he was getting impulses from his spirit form that were so strong that he literally said these words before he even realized it. I would imagine that this information just came out of him. And it was the same way he felt when he saw Ascot for the first time and he started talking to her. And he even asked her, you know, "How come I know you? Why?" You know, she said, "Look into your memories and maybe you can find this." But she wouldn't tell him anymore. We have seven evolutionary steps that a human being goes through. And we start out in primitive life, and we go to rational life, and then intelligent life, and real life. Life and creational wisdom, that's the fifth stage, and that's where we can become an Ishwish, a king of wisdom, or an Ishrish if you're a woman. And you're a queen, you become a queen of wisdom. And at that point, it's like you start to get into the age of recognitions, where you are able to start to recognize like people and situations from your previous life. And that's, I guess Billy's already in that stage. Billy's very, very unusual in that, you know, I think some places in the contact reports it'll tell you he's about, his spirit form is 9.6 billion years old. But he has left the spirit realm. So, or the Patali, or the Arhat Athrasada level. So once we get to the first five stages, it's 40 to 60 million years, or you're in with the life and creational wisdom. And then you go into the stage of half physical, half spiritual, and that lasts 30 to 40 million years, something like that. And then you go into a completely spiritual stage, and it has eight levels in it. It starts out at Arhat Athrasada, and it goes to the Patali level. Now, Billy's spirit form has gone to a certain level in this spirit realm and then came back into the physical. So his spirit form is older than the earth. It has a tremendous amount of knowledge, innate knowledge, but in his material consciousness, he's still just a regular guy that makes mistakes. And I think it's always important to remember that. And anything in the Meyer information that you learn, think it through yourself. And it's perfectly legitimate, I believe anyway, to come to a different conclusion than Billy sometimes. Doesn't mean you're right, doesn't mean you're wrong. So don't be a parrot that just parrots what you've heard. Be independent in your thinking. In order to evolve spiritually, you have to be an independent thinker. That is so critical. To do that. So we have the love, effective love, we have striving, and striving works with the creational natural law that we can call a system and order. Now, system and order and striving go together. So as you continue to strive and you're working on different things, you'll find it useful to create a schedule, and then schedule you'll do things at certain times. And then you'll repeat certain things at certain times. And this there's something amazing about this. I'm still learning and still amazed by this. But if you can do things in a repeatable schedule, it will have unexpected benefits for you that you will have to experience. And maybe your experience will be the same as mine, maybe it will be a little different, but it helps. And it's very important to follow a system, develop your own system, and follow your own order, and try to set certain times every day where you do certain things. And it will help your relationship with people and your pets and your relationship with yourself. And then your life produces a momentum, and you start to get a momentum and a progress. And this also helps your thinking, and your thinking stay focused. So these four creational and natural laws, law of love, law of striving, law of harmony, and the law of system and order, are very, very critical and very, very, very helpful. Now, Billy is called the universal prophet. And there is this whole line of people. So these are his prior personalities. Nicodemus, 9.6 billion years ago. Henoch, about 8 billion years ago. Semyasi, not Semyasi, Semyaza. Now, there are two Semyasas. One at 14,000 years ago, one at 389,000 years ago. Only one is in the Nicodemian line. Somebody send me a message and tell me which one. I forget. There's Henoch about 13,500 years ago. Henoch 2, 9,308 years ago. Henoch 3, 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. Then Elijah in 891 BC. Isaiah 772 BC. Jeremiah 662 BC. Socrates 469 BC, Aristotle, 384 BC, Emmanuel at 2 BC, and then a break. He was very, very busy. The spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer of Nicodemian, incarnated as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Socrates, Aristotle, and he was coming back. It looked like if you did the math, you know, he may live 70 years and only spend 10 or 20 years in the spirit realm, which isn't the ideal thing. I'd have to do the math to make sure that, but it looks like he's coming back a lot, very often. Then there's a big gap between Emmanuel and Muhammad of about 500 years, and then another big gap of about 500 or 600 years. And then he comes back as Johann Georg Faust. And then about 100 years later, Galileo. About 200 years later, Mozart. About 100 years later, Mendelssohn. And then 50 years later, Rasputin. And then Billy Meyer in about 70 or 80 years. So it's very interesting looking at that lineage. It's the same spirit form leaving the spirit realm, living a physical life, going back to the spirit realm, and gaining wisdom. And he's here as the universal prophet to help speed up evolution here on the earth. Because as you can see, especially as you look at the political situation in the United States, you can see how badly we need some evolution, some spiritual evolution. So again, primitive life, rational life, intelligent life, real life, life and creation of wisdom, 40 to 60 million years of reincarnation. Who knows how much time you spend in the physical versus the spirit realm. Ideally, you probably spend about 20 million of those years in the physical and about 40 some million or something that affect in the spirit realm. But I think we're spending too much time in the physical because of the overpopulation problem. And then we spend, 50 million years or so in the half spiritual, half material. Then we spend I believe it's billions of years total in the eight, seven spirit levels. Arahat, Arthasada, Mantano, Abssala, Dharman. I can't even pronounce these names. All the way up to the Patali level. So, the whole story of Nokodemian's lineage is very interesting. I believe originally he was born on the planet Sadar in the Warren star system, in the Lyran galaxy, I believe. But came to the Earth during the time of Henoch, who we call Enoch. And I believe there were four Henochs, and I read their times and when they were here earlier. Very interesting going through all of these, different lineages and incarnations. I don't know if I even mentioned Galileo. He was a great astronomer and a physicist and engineer. Also, Meyer was Mozart. He was a child prodigy. Very interesting if that musical skill must still be there in that consciousness somewhere. Maybe that also is programmed into the subconscious. It's hard to say. Now, Rasputin is very unusual. And there's a lot written about him, and I think some of it's false, so I don't know how much we really have about Rasputin. We have a lot of information that he was a really wild person and did a lot of crazy stuff. I don't know how much of that is true. He was a bit of a monk, an itinerant preacher, and I believe he did some healings with people. So, very interesting comparing him to Billy. The two are similar in some ways and difference in others. So anyway, that was kind of a quick summary. I just kind of went off a little bit on the whole Nokedamian's spirit line and the whole creational natural laws. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics, and this program is a journey. I'm never sure exactly where we're going. No matter what plans I make, it sometimes turns out different. We'll see you next time. Have a great day.